So Matthew chapter 9. And we're going to begin reading at verse number 35. So Matthew 9 and verse 35 says, "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word today, and we just thank you for your heart of compassion for this world and for each of us, and we just pray that we would understand your word today and see your heart and to have to share that same burden for those that need to come to you as Savior. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Living in West Central Saskatchewan, no one needs to explain to us what harvest is. That we saw the farmers out in their fields in the spring seeding, and we've driven by those fields many times over the past few months, seeing the crops grow up and fill out. And as they've started to change color, and of course by the day on the counter, we know that farmers all across this area are heading back into their fields to reap of what they've sowed, to get in the bin everything they can before the snow comes. And for so many in this area, farming is their livelihood. They've sunk a lot of time and energy and money into ensuring that they have the best crop possible, and they will sink or swim based on the yield and quality of the crop that they get in. For them, both the weather and the equipment can be uncooperative, and the resulting delays only add to the urgency of their task and the stress that comes with managing it. We know that over the next several weeks there are going to be a lot of big equipment on our roadways, there's going to be a lot of long hours put in, and there's going to be a lot of frayed nerves. But we realize that's what harvest is all about. And so at this time of year, we wish all the farmers the best as they work to get their crop in, and we pray for safety for them through it all. And during Jesus' ministry on this earth, we find that different times he spoke of harvest. And the culture and society in which he lived was really as much, if not more, agricultural than our own. So when he speaks of harvest, he was speaking in terms that are familiar to the people then and to us now in this area. And he does so because he wants us to become aware of an important spiritual truth that we may have been entirely oblivious to. We think of the time in John chapter 4 where Jesus and his disciples, they had spent some time in Judea, and then they were on their way back to Galilee. And it was typical, because the Jews had no dealings with the Samaritans, that they would actually go quite a way of a detour to entirely circumvent the area known as Samaria. But Jesus said, "No, today we're going through Samaria. We're not going around it." And so that was unusual. But they went through. They got to this one place, Sychar, and there is a well there. And Jesus was kind of tired, and so his disciples said, "Okay, Jesus, you stay here. We'll go get something to eat, and then we'll get back on the road and get going." And their focus, of course, was on finding food. And so they come back and they figure, okay, they'll give Jesus something to eat, and then they'll be on their way before they have to interact with any more of the locals. And then, of course, what happens? They get back and they find Jesus is talking to this woman at the well. And we find from the narrative that they are kind of puzzled. Why is he talking with her? And she leaves, And they tell Jesus to eat. So we take up the narrative in John chapter 4, verse 31. It says, "In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of." And so when he said that, of course, the disciples were very confused. And they thought, well, someone else brought him food to eat, and they went to all this trouble of getting him something, and he already has some. And of course, he was trying to lay some out to them much different. And he said, verse 34, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work." That it was the idea that he had a hunger for something more than just physical food. That there was something that was going to bring satisfaction and fulfillment to him far more than a bit of bread ever could. And he said, "My meat is to do the will of my Father that sent me and to finish his work." And there's a work that he was doing, and they were totally oblivious to the work that he was doing in the life of this woman of Samaria, this woman who was coming in the middle of the day, the hot part of the day, to get water, which was unusual. And the reason why is because she had a background that a lot of people were, kind of the town gossips would always be chirping at her. And so she said, "Well, I'm just going to come when nobody else is coming." And she was hoping to be there and not encounter anyone. But Jesus knew who she was, knew what her spiritual need was. And so he interacted with her and started to deal with her and to share with her the truth of who he was. And we find that this woman who, her whole purpose for going was to get water and then go home. But we find that she actually leaves her water pot behind, goes back into the city, and tells everybody that she can, I've found the Christ, that he came and talked to me, told me everything that I ever did. Can you please come and see him?" And so the disciples, they knew nothing of this. And so Jesus is trying to explain to them what's going on. And so in that we see him say these words in verse 35 of John 4. He says, "Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest." And so you think of it, of course, the cycle of growth and harvest in the Middle East is definitely quite a bit different due to their climate than here. But you could kind of think of it this way, that there would almost be that this was okay, 4 months, it would be like May, and they would think, well, harvest will be a long time from this point. But he's trying to say that, no, there is another harvest I want you to see. And this harvest, that it's you don't have to wait for it to come. It's already ready to be gathered. And so we want to understand what Jesus is trying to get across, that there is a harvest that Jesus wants us to see. And it's not a physical harvest of grain. It is a spiritual harvest of soul. And it is a thought that Jesus, we see, that he repeats in this text that we read this morning in Matthew chapter 9. That Jesus is ministering to these people. He's going to different cities and villages, and he's telling people about the truth of the Lord of God, and he's ministering to their physical needs. And as he's doing so, we find that he looks out on the multitudes that are coming to get help, and that he recognizes their plight. And it says that he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. That he saw in them, really you can look at it two things, that they fainted, kind of the idea that they were lacking in strength. But then as well, they were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd, that not only were they lacking in strength, they were lacking in direction in their life. And really, it's something that we can discern that even today. That's what a lot of people struggle with, a lack of strength. It might be physical strength, it might be emotional strength, or mental strength, but as well, for so many, there's that lack of direction where people don't know where to go in life. They don't know what purpose they have, what they're supposed to be accomplishing. They're seeking for direction, trying many different things. And so we see Jesus saw that, and he was moved with compassion. And that compassion he had, we realize in his life that he went out specifically himself and ministered to these people. But in this passage, we see that this compassion also moved him to make a statement and to make a prayer request of his disciples. And so we see that, the explanation he gives, verse 37, verse 38, says, "Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." And so he's laying this out, and he's speaking of a harvest. And he's, of course, not talking about grain. He's talking about people. He's talking about the souls of men and women, that people that need help, people that need strength, encouragement, and guidance. And so he's saying to them that the harvest truly is plenteous, that there's many souls that need to be gathered in, that brought to a place of safety. But he says that the laborers are few. And I think that's something that we can certainly understand nowadays. We can understand the concept of there being a manpower shortage during harvest time. That's the busiest time, and it's the most essential time, that basically all the work and all the investment that has been made, that this is the time when farmers want to get that return on investment. And so they have to get things in and as quickly as possible. Nothing is for certain, because you could have a great crop, but if suddenly it starts raining, that it can degrade quite quickly in the field, and it may not be nearly as profitable as one would hope. And so farmers at this time, they want to get it off as quickly as possible. They need to have people to operate the equipment, people to drive the trucks, people to run and get parts, to make repairs, to keep them fed, that all those different things are part of the whole process, and all of them are important. And so the more help that there is, the faster and better everything goes. But when the needed help is not available, it means that those that are available have to carry a heavier load than they probably ought to. And that can lead to fatigue and burnout and a greater chance of accidents occurring. And so we understand that when harvest comes, because of the urgency, because of the scope of what needs to be accomplished, that the more help, the better. And so when Jesus is saying, he's essentially saying the harvest truly is plenteous. He's saying there's a bumper crop that's ready to be harvested, but there's a shortage of manpower. And so with that, we see that Jesus makes a prayer request. And from what I've seen, and I may be wrong, but I can't find any other place in the Gospels where Jesus makes a specific prayer request, where he asks his disciples, please pray for this. And so if this is the only one that he has in all of the Gospels, we want to realize it's significant, and we want to realize that it's meaningful to him. And so we want to be praying for this as he asks us to. And he says for us to pray to the Lord of the harvest, the Lord of the harvest, of course, being our Heavenly Father, and it's that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. And so this is something very important to our Savior. That it's a thought that he is at work in this world even today, that he wants to draw people unto himself. He wants people to know of his gospel. He wants them, people, to know that He is their Savior and that they can call upon Him and be saved. And He wants, as we've learned about Him, to give them strength and healing emotionally. He wants to bring comfort to those that mourn. He wants to bring liberty to those that are captive. That there's so much that He wants to do. And He is at work in this world, but he wants fellow laborers to work with Him. And so as we love the Lord, as His disciples, as God's children that have been adopted into His family, as those that He has redeemed through His blood, we want to love what He loves. If this is something that's important to Him, we realize this should be important to me. This is something that Jesus is burdened about, that it should become my burden. And so we should gladly be praying that God the Father would fulfill this request of His. But of course, as we consider this, just as we looked at last week, our mindset always tends to be, well, Lord, there's this great need. Please send someone else. We always think of that in terms that, there's got to be this manpower to come from somewhere, Lord, and just send it from somewhere, from anywhere, to meet this great need. I'm reminded of a man by the name of Terry Carruthers. He was from Nova Scotia, and he went to Bible college as a young man, and there he met a young lady named Jane who had surrendered her life to go to Brazil as a missionary. And at the time, he kind of thought she was maybe a little bit crazy, and he started praying to God for her. His prayer was essentially, well, Lord, Brazil's a dangerous place for a young lady to go to all by herself. Lord, would you please provide her with a husband that will share her burden and will go with her? And so he kept praying for her, and as he continued to pray, he eventually discovered that he was the answer to his own prayer. And they ended up getting married and have spent decades working in Brazil, reaching people for Christ. And I don't think that any of us pray without the hope and expectation that God would answer our prayers. And especially because this prayer request is near and dear to the heart of God's Son, we can be doubly sure that God the Father would want to answer it. But as we see the need for laborers in so many different places in this world, even in our own country, and we see it go unfulfilled, we may say, well, what's going on? Why is this prayer request not being answered? And we think, well, God the Father must be calling people. Are people just not answering? Don't they realize the need? Somebody needs to go to help our master and bring the harvest in. The time is of the essence. And those that are serving are going to get burnt out if others don't come to help out. And so, Lord, please send laborers into the harvest. Send someone. Send anyone. But then we start to realize, wait a minute, I'm anyone. Has He been calling me and I haven't been listening? Could I be the answer to Jesus' prayer? And so, of course, in those moments, excuses come quickly to our minds. We don't think we're qualified, not understanding with the urgency of the harvest that God isn't picky, that He'll take whoever He can get. I remember years ago when Alan Japp first asked me if I could help him with harvest, and I was just kind of, it's like, I've never run a tractor or a combine. I don't know what I'm doing. I probably wreck stuff. And he just said, doesn't matter. I'll teach you what you need to know. And of course, I made plenty of mistakes. I plugged the auger, I clipped the grain cart with the header of the combine, but he was glad to have the help, and we got the harvest in. And I really think that's the same mindset Jesus has with us. He knows better than we do that we don't know what we're doing. But He's willing to teach us. And He says, you don't need to be this perfect person. You don't need to have all these great skills. I'll teach you what I need to know. You need to know. I've filled you with my Spirit, and my Holy Spirit will be able to share what is necessary as you learn to walk with Him. And it's the fact that He wants our help. He desires, He needs our help. And it comes down to us changing our mind from being, Lord, please send someone else, to instead saying, hear my Lord, send me into your harvest. And as we've been considering, Jesus declared to his disciples in John 20, verse 21, as the Father has sent me, even so send I you. That Jesus' Father, the Lord of the harvest, sent his Son into the world to gather a harvest of souls, to share his message of salvation, of liberation, of consolation. And so now Jesus is sending us into the harvest. He's calling us to be laborers together with him, to have a part in reaching the lost with the truth of the gospel that will deliver them from the penalty and power of sin. That he is the one, of course, that's taking the lead. He is the one that is willing and able to provide us with the resources and know-how that we need to accomplish the tasks that he has. And he's sending each of us into his harvest. He's saying, it is harvest time right now, and there's plenty of tasks that need to be done, both in the work itself and in the support of that work. Sometimes it's our work is enabling others so that they can do a greater work. Sometimes it's just providing encouragement. Sometimes just praying for others. But we want to understand that the fields are ready for harvest and time is of the essence. And we need to answer his call and labor with him to get the harvest in. And so for us to do that, two things really are needed. And it is a change of mind, a change of focus that the Lord wants us to go through so that we will come to that point where we'll say, yes, Lord, send me into your harvest. I will do what you would ask me to do. And so first, for that to happen, we need to lift up our eyes and look on the fields. We need to see the need. We need to see the urgency that is present to meet the needs of others. That there's so many people around us that are in need of help, that are in need of hope, that are in need of God's truth. They need to know of God's love, and they need to experience God's comfort. The time is short, that no one is guaranteed tomorrow. The opportunities to reach people before it is eternally too late pass very quickly. Statistically speaking, today and every day in Canada, 10 people are going to end their lives by suicide, and up to 200 others are going to attempt to do so. Today and every day, 12 people will die from drug overdose, 38 will die in accidents, over 200 will die from cancer, and nearly 150 will die of heart disease. People are slipping away for one reason or another. Sometimes it's things out of their control. Sometimes it's from bad decisions that they've made. Sometimes it's just because they've lost hope and they decide to end it all. And so people need to be reached with the life and soul-saving truth of the gospel before it's too late. What we have to give to them could save their lives, could change their lives, could bring them out of the darkness into the light, could bring them from bondage into freedom, could bring them from sorrow into joy. There's so much that we have to offer them, and we want to reach them before the time passes, before their life slips away. There's so many, it's such a sad thing that for some, we're just poor choices that they make can end up being fatal. And so we want to help them just to warn them and to help them to see that this is a path you need to take that is to life, not to destruction. And so we need to realize that. We need to see that there's many people that they don't have much time left necessarily, and so we want to do what we can in the time that we have to reach them and make a difference in their life. But secondly as well, not only do we need to lift up our eyes and look on the fields, we also need to be moved with compassion towards those that are in need. In this, we are reminded of Jesus' story of the Good Samaritan in Luke chapter 10. that I think many of us are familiar with it, of the certain man that he went down to Jericho, fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And we see what it says of this is Luke 10, verses 31 and 32. It says, "And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him, and passed by on the other side." And so we see with this that the priest and the Levite, that they saw the need of the man at the side of the road. They weren't oblivious to it. They realized this man needs help. But we find that they didn't do anything to help him, that they actually kept going on their way. They almost acted like they didn't see him. And it's just such a really, when you read that, it's such an unfortunate thing that this person needed first aid, that he was half dead, that his life was slipping away. He needed someone to intervene and to make a difference. But for whatever reason, they passed by. Maybe they thought, well, if I try to help this person, maybe the thieves are lurking behind a rock and they'll pop out and they'll get me too. Or they may have thought, I got too much to do. Somebody else will have to get him. But we see the difference with the next verse, which says, "But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him, and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him." And we see that he saw this man, and maybe some of the same thoughts ran through his head that ran through the head of the priest and the Levite, but he said, no, this person needs help. And we see the difference, that he had compassion on him. And that's the thing, compassion is where it's love put into practice, where it's where really we think of it so much today that there's far too much what we call virtue signaling, where politicians and others basically try to act like they care about someone. But in reality, they're not willing to actually go out and practically provide people with the help they need. That many times, the things that they do actually make things worse for people, not better. And we don't want that to be the case for us. We think of what John spoke of in 1 John chapter 3. Where he said, "Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we have to lay down our lives for the brethren." In verse 17, "But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth." And so that's the key, is that we need, when we see people, the need that they have, we don't just say, well, it's not my problem, that we say something needs to be done. And we can't assume that someone else is going to come along and help that person, that we're there at a certain time, and we just say, okay, I'm here, this person needs help, and God wants me to help this person, and so I'm going to be moved with compassion. I'm going to step out of what might be my comfort zone. I'm going to do what I can. I'm no longer going to be indifferent. I'm not just some going to express some empty sentiment to try to cheer the person up. Instead, that we do what we can to help that person. That is the compassion for people that are hurting, people that are struggling, people that are lost, people that are overwhelmed by the bondage and power of sin in their life, that they need someone to help them. They need someone to have compassion. And so it is that compassion for them that causes us to take those steps to say, yes, I will go into the harvest field. I will help you, Lord. I will be a fellow laborer with you to reach these people for you. And so may the Lord help us in this, that one, that we would see that the fields are white unto harvest, that we would understand There is a harvest to be gathered, that there is an urgency about the work that we need to do. And as we see the fields that are white under harvest, may we pray that the Lord would send forth laborers into his harvest. But as we gain our Master's burden for the people around us, as we learn to have the same compassion that he has shown for us and for so many others, let us be the answer to Jesus' prayer. It is harvest time. There is much work to be done, so let us enter into the fields, and by God's wisdom and strength, may we all have a part in his great work of redemption. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you again for your word. We thank you for your great love for us. We thank you for those that you sent into our life to share with us the truth, so that we could be delivered from the wrath to come, that we could come to be adopted in your family and be accepted in your Son. And Lord, we just pray that you would help us to step forward, to seek to be that person in others' lives that others were for us, that we would be used of you to reach others in this time before it's too late. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's all stand. We'll turn to one last hymn before we conclude this morning.